It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
Film lovers, welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. It's also available as a podcast on Monday if you have weekend plans. That's really okay. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. I don't poke, neither should you. Or farming, or mafia, friendships. Simple friendship and communication's fine. Working the board, my producer, the president of the Indianapolis chapter of the Kobe Calliott fan club, that Mr. Kobe right. Slagle.
Hello, hello.
Oh, hi, Kobe.
I'm Matt.
Sitting in with me, gentleman who is the Indianapolis president of the Indianapolis chapter of the Nigella Lawson fan club, that's Brian Hartz. We're also members of that group. You're on that. I take the minutes. Also sitting in, the Indianapolis president of the Matthew Sozi fan club, not named Lynn Perkins, that's Jules Riker.
What's up, Mr. Sozi?
Hey, babe. And
so
sitting with that's right. Sitting with her is Sharon Rickson. These two ladies are members of... I just met you, so I'm not going to put any snark on you. At least not right away. But they have a camp, Girls Rock, that's coming up.
We actually just finished our first camp this week.
And you get the performance is tomorrow night, right?
That's correct. The performance is tomorrow. It's actually during the afternoon at Earth House. Doors are at 2 o'clock. Show is at 3. And that consists of 40 girls, 9 bands, 9 original songs.
Just to clarify for those particular audience members out there, how old are the ladies?
They range in age between 8 and 16 years of
different type of festival, folks. Let's not go down that path. So.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. And it starts what time?
It starts at 3 p.m. sharp. Doors are at 2.
Okay, so you can start your tailgating.
That's correct.
In the morning. It's all about tailgating here at Film Sociology. And, Brian, you got a new site up and posted, correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's a blog all about film music and my own personal extensive collection thereof called Music From and Inspired By. It's at cinematicmusic.blogspot.com. Appreciate it if you drop by.
You mean you didn't get MorriconeRules.com first?
I'm afraid that one was taken. Yeah.
We'll have to work
it's
on that.
It's too bad, man.
I know. We'll do a soundtrack show very soon, but it's fun to have a gaggle of guests of different backgrounds. Just a reminder, going on this weekend, going on tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday, the last 3 days of the Indianapolis International Film Festival.
We going.
We are going. As soon as the show's over, we're going to go see Ball Hawks. Got to say that slowly. And it's a documentary about those guys that chase baseballs outside of Wrigley Field. They enjoy it.
I'm excited.
I know. And you just can't hide it. And so anyway, that's tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. Go to indiefilmfest.org for more information at the IMA. Tonight at the IMA, Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Nice.
It was good enough for me when I was 5. It was good enough for my daughter when she was 5. It's good enough for you if you were 5. So go see that. Okay. Well, I'm glad we have two girl power films, apparently. G-R-R-L-L, I think is how it goes.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay. It is the blockbuster film Salt, also known as Angelina Jolie, whoopin' tail in her mid-30s. She plays a CIA employee who may or may not be a Russian spy, and she's going to beat up anybody who says otherwise. Here's some audio.
You got a walk-in. A defector. He's Russian.
Neural scan is up.
Ever.
What
What's your name?
My name is Vasily Orlov.
Nothing. He doesn't exist.
Today, a Russian agent will travel to New York City to kill the president. This agent is KA-12.
The KA program is a myth. Scan says he's truthful.
This guy's selling smoke.
Wrap it up, Ev.
Don't you want to know the name?
You're good. You can tell the rest of your story to one of my colleagues.
The name of the agent is Evelyn Salt.
My name is Evelyn Salt.
Then you are a Russian spy.
Where'd she go?
What are you doing there?
What are you doing?
This doesn't look good.
I'm not a Russian spy.
On the ground!
I'm innocent! Somebody is setting me up!
Shut up!
Maybe Salt is who she says she is.
Maybe it's your department. Mine is catching her so we can find out.
Drop it!
The film is directed by Philip Noyce, who's given us everything from, Sliver, blame him for that. Bone Collector, Quiet American, actually good with Michael Caine, Clear and Present Danger, Patriot Games, Rabbit Proof Fence, among others.
Don't forget Dead Calm.
Oh, yes. Early pre-work done Nicole Kidman. That's right. Thank you, redheaded, curly-haired Nicole Kidman.
Still works
for me. I miss 1995 Nicole Kidman so much. It's also
eight.
So does Tom Cruise.
Wow.
I don't think he does.
Yeah, he's got Katie Holmes in his pit. I mean at home. That's right, at home. It's written by Kurt Wimmer, who's given us The Recruit, Street Kings, Law Abiding Citizen, and the remake of Thomas Crown Affair. And some of the other voices you may recognize from there. My guy, Chiwetel Ejiofor, who's really working on it. Not quite as hard as 2012. It was just amusing watching him really play it like it's Othello, like it's Shakespeare, even though it was just a load of bunk. And Liev Schreiber is in this film as well. This is Jolie's first live-action film since Changeling a couple of years ago. She's, been too busy raising the kids and crank-calling Jennifer Aniston. So she's back in the action genre. I guess there is no other, although I shouldn't say that. We should find Mr. Slago if we get a chance. There was an interesting column this week in Slate.com on what if the Expendables were women?
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
So, because really, who wants to see the 1980 and 1990 action film all-stars when you can see a made-up movie with Lucy Liu, Sigourney Weaver,
yeah,
Cynthia Rothrock?
There you go.
Yeah, exact. Pam Grier, Michelle Yeoh. I mean, they should make that, but that's just me. but no, really. But the one woman who could probably carry an action film all by herself is Angelina Jolie.
Yep.
The problem with the film is it goes on the concept of is she or isn't she a Russian spy? And I don't say spoiler alert because, you're on your own when you listen to this program. But if it were to go down a certain path, I think certain parts of this country would go bat crazy, for lack of a better term. Glenn Beck would have her on the program every day with a big hammer and sickle, things like that. So you kind of know where the film's going to go. And by the way, there's also a character an actor who gets woefully cast as the guy who turns out to turn in the last 10 minutes of the film. They need to stop casting him as that too. Action-wise, the film's okay. The action sequences aren't quite... I know they've been comparing it to The Bourne Identity or The Supremacy or Ultimatum. I didn't feel nearly as seasick watching this film as I did the last two Bourne films. I'm not bitter. But,
Somebody actually had a Steadicam rig, you mean?
Paul Greengrass still bugs me. I loved Bloody Sunday. I loved United 93. I thought that was the best film of that year, but I needed Dramamine to watch his two Bourne films.
Yeah, don't sit too close to the screen.
Oh, did you?
No, just good words
of advice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you don't want it. It's not that bad. The scene where she's jumping from truck to truck, that's probably the highlight of the film, but it wasn't anything spectacular. So I guess if anything, she's back to doing action films. Just hopefully they're better written. better concept. If they, you know what, if they had cast a girl with the dragon tattoo, there would be a little more of a gray cloud of mystery. But not when it's one of the biggest movie stars in the world. And I think that kind of hurt the film in my case. But you know, I say this, and the film's probably going to still open with $70 million. Or 40.
You know who was originally supposed to do that role?
That was supposed to be everyone's favorite wacky Scientologist, right?
Tom Cruise.
And he said no and made Night and Day instead.
Well, we know well, who came out on the top side of that one.
Do we?
I guess box office will tell.
I guess, but I don't know. There's a reason why we don't have the show on Mondays, so we don't talk about the box office receipts. There's been many times I said, well, that's great. The majority of film goers went and saw a lousy picture. This one's not lousy. It's just okay. It's nothing phenomenal. And it doesn't have the biker shorts from Tomb Raider, but I digress.
I wonder if she's promoting it at Comic-Con.
She is, actually.
Is she? Yeah.
Oh, wait, she's at Comic-Con?
She probably. It's going she on you need, weekend, and
you
I
need,
miss it.
You need basement dweller repellent if she's at Comic-Con. My
well,
God.
Well, she was there a couple years ago when I was there.
Really?
Yeah, she was there.
Did you get close?
No, I was, you know, I had to, it was when I was working over at the Hard Rock Hotel, so I had to be all professional and act like I didn't even notice her. And...
That's gotta be
tough. But she looked hot. I'll give you that.
Yeah,
she looked hot.
There are moments, there are times, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, that it's pretty dead on. And that's I'm not thinking she used to have Billy Bob's blood around her neck, or
yeah,
that she made
it was after that,
or that she made Beyond Borders. I'm picky. And my wife is very patient. We all know that. So, overall, Mr. Slagle, you got my response there?
Potter, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
But something that was near great is the film, and I have to tell the story after we hear the trailer, but it's The Kids Are All Right. And no, it's not the Who documentary, although reissuing that would be kind of fun. But this is a comedy with Annette Bening and Julianne Moore as a lesbian couple who have two kids, and the son, who's 15, she's 18, wants to find out who donated. And it turned out the donator was Mark Ruffalo, and he starts to get involved with the family in all sorts of ways. Here's some audio.
Hey, Bug.
Don't be back late.
I know.
Come give us a hug before you go.
Hugs.
Hug her. That's what she's there for.
Have you thought anymore about making that call?
That could really hurt Mom's feelings.
How can you not even be curious about it?
Each of my moms had a kid with your sperm.
Like in both of them.
Uh-huh, like in gay.
Right on.
Cool, I love lesbians.
Great.
I get it. He's their biological father and all that crap. Like, we're not enough or something?
I never thought they'd use my stuff.
Why not? Well, I'd use it.
Donor dad? Stone cold. Fox. Is he single? First of all, ew.
We met him, and that's cool. And now we can move on.
I want to see him again.
You do?
You do?
So great to meet you.
Hi.
Go easy on the wine, hon. It's daytime.
Okay. Same goes for the micromanaging. Okay.
So how'd you two meet?
I was a resident, and Jules had an emergency.
My tongue was numb,
and I told her to relax,
and then
my tongue started working again.
Oh, my God.
The plan was to limit his involvement.
You're not going to stick that, bro.
He's not a father. He's our sperm donor.
I just keep seeing my kid's expressions in your face.
Really?
Really?
I feel like he's taking over my family.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What's that look you're giving me?
That's no look. That's just my face.
Driving home on a motorcycle. This is something I just never allow.
Mom, I'm 18 years old. I've just felt so far away from you lately.
Why'd you donate sperm?
It just seemed like a lot more fun than donating blood. Hey, I'm glad I did.
Marriage is hard. Two people, year after year. Sometimes you stop seeing the other person.
To an unconventional family.
Other casting note, the oldest daughter, we saw her earlier this year, is Alice in Alice in Wonderland. So, you know, you, she's following the system. You make a big movie, and then you know, for the check, and then you do a small movie for the glory. And it's co-written and directed by Lisa Chulodenko, who I believe her first film was Laurel Canyon, which had Frances McDormand and her son Christian Bale. Oh, good for him. That was for you, Kobe. And Jules, how's your tongue?
What?
It's in the trailer.
No, yeah, they were talking about me. So.
We know that. Now, that would be a film, but we're not going to go there. Okay, easily, I got, which was fun about this film, one, everybody in it is rock solid. Annette Bening, Julianne Moore. And it's nice to see both of those ladies who've done two really good performances in a matter of months. Annette Bening was in Mother and Child earlier this year that I liked a great deal. And of course, last week we talked about Julianne Moore and her performance in Chloe, you know, with Liam Neeson and Amanda Seyfried. And of course, I said, despite the presence of Amanda Seyfried, if you're cheating on Julianne Moore, you're an idiot.
Seconded.
Thank you. This one, the chemistry between everybody works real well, especially the coupling of Moore and Bening. And somebody pointed this out after the screening last night, and I wish I had said this, but I'm going to say it now, is, you know, you don't see that many movies about marriage. You see movies that wind up with couples getting married, but we don't see a couple. It's been a long time since I can think of with a couple. They've been, and this is a couple that have been together about 10 years. They each have their issues. Apparently, Annette is micromanaging and drinking, and Julianne is still trying to find herself. And along comes Mark Ruffalo, who kind of plays a variation of the role he did in You Can Count on Me, but he's still really damn good at doing it. And comes in, and it doesn't turn into a complete, it does turn into a triangle, but it doesn't turn into a cure. Let's put it that way. Just because a male presence is there does not mean somebody's going to turn 180 degrees. So I appreciate the fact that it didn't go down that path either. But I'm happy to say this is the best family film I've seen this year. Now, nice. That being said, I said this on AM earlier this morning with my buddy Abdul on the 1430 dial, and I got a phone call wondering if this guy thought I was crazy. And I said, yeah, I said it's the best family film of the year. And he goes, are you saying I should take my child? I said, I didn't say that. I said it's the best film, best family film, which means it's a film about families.
Right.
And then finally said, what gave it away, lesbians or sperm donors? And then said, if you've been listening to this show, if you're listening to Abdul's show for 5 years now, you know Fridays from 8 to 9 are goof-off hour. Just pay attention sometimes, folks. Not you folks. You folks are fine here at WFYI. But
what?
But you understand my, you know, my family choice. This, but play on words, folks. It happens. So, no, go see this.
Okay.
It's, you know, if you don't want to go through the big lines at the Blockbuster cinemas, and really, that's okay. This is actually one of the better films I've seen this summer, if not this year. Granted, I try not to make those claims because it's not even August yet, so I don't start doing lists until October, November. But overall, hit them, Kobe.
Yes, 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 yes!
Just a reminder, the IMA tonight, besides the film festival, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Cinematic masterpiece.
You really can't see it enough times.
You cannot see it enough times. Mr. Schlegel, how old were you when you first saw it? Tell
15,
me.
Okay, 16?
Good.
Yes, I have
right.
seen that.
I give you grief over spaghetti westerns,
yes,
but
I've not seen spaghetti westerns. Everybody out there listening, I have seen Monty Python.
All right. I back off.
I told you this. I ran into two people giving me crap. Oh, you never heard of spaghetti westerns?
I couldn't
believe it.
I'm trying to help you out, man. I got to bring it in. I've got to make a note.
He's not
Kobe.
Dead yet.
He's getting better.
Nice. Nice reference.
See, and this is even better. Females who can quote Monty Python.
Right.
That's...
And, it, well, just appreciate it in the first place.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
that's true, too.
Definitely
a
rare breed, Monty Python.
Well, as a kid, yeah, I was 5 when my dad showed it to me, and that explains a lot, those who've known me for a long time. But, yes, I still, for a long time, had the beta... Don't judge me. Everybody thought it was better than VHS. Beta copy when it was on the Channel 20 station in Flint, Michigan, which includes the 10-minute pledge break because they play it once a year during the drive.
Yeah.
During the drive. So you hold, and this was the top loader, which sounded louder than an 8-track, and you had to hold the fast forward button. You know, my finger was like my forearms by the time I was done with that in 9th grade. But yeah, that was the only time. And then, of course, when it came out on video, it was one of the first VHS movies I bought. And then, of course, they try to suck us dry by reissuing it on DVD and Blu-ray every year and a half. but we'll still probably go for it. You never
know. You gotta
get
the bonus features.
Well, yeah, I do. I'm a bonus feature person. Okay. That's what I do.
It's almost better if you watch it in lousy quality, though. I discovered it when it was on like Channel 4 on a Sunday afternoon when I was 12, and I thought I'd hit gold.
You did hit gold.
No, I know now that I thought nobody else knew about it. I thought, wow, here's this secret thing that's hilarious. And then I discovered.
Well, think about how many of at that age were watching PBS. You know, because by the time you hit double digits, you're not watching Sesame Street. You're not watching Electric Company or Mister Rogers. I think I was 9 when I discovered sneak previews. And I still remember they reviewed Rocky II and More American Graffiti. And I thought, wait a minute, these guys are talking about movies for a half hour? Really? I want in. I informed my parents. I'm like, I want dinner early on Thursdays. I got to see this.
I was always a Bob Ross girl, though.
Were you?
Yeah.
Happy Trees.
I love Bob Ross.
He's a genius.
Bless his heart.
For medicinal purposes, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they filmed that about
He's
day.
Like, I know. Yes, he did. We could
building.
Find the fumes that led to his honorary studio. The Tupac of painting shows. I think he or prints. He made so many shows, and they keep coming out of the vault with new material from 1978. But no, Python, that's a must-have. That's a must. And then at Nuvo, I was going through the office, and I had Emma with me, and she was 5. And my then-colleague, Lisa Godier, had received the press kit for Spamalot when it was here at the Murat. And they had... including such things, a can of Spam with the Terry Gilliam characters drawn in of all the knights, and they had a pair of killer a bunny slippers and a bunny hand puppet. And Emma saw this rabbit with the nasty beak, pointy teeth, and said, "What is?" Yeah, I said, "She goes, what is that, Dan?" I said, "That's a killer bunny. It's from a movie. I want to see it." Which, what? Yeah, exactly. Well, and it took me a little bit. Wait a minute. I was 5 when my dad did this. So you did basically like any good parent should. I showed her that scene. She thought it was a riot. She wanted to watch it again.
Nice.
We watched that scene 3 bloody times. And you know, when you're 5, all the visuals. You know, the Trojan rabbit and the Black Knight,
yes.
And you know, all that stuff. You know, you get those. So I would, you know, I fast forwarded through a few choice scenes.
Castle Anthrax.
I did not show her to Castle Anthrax. But eventually she wanted to watch the whole movie, and she did. I told her not to move there. I told her mom to move there so I could visit there. But anyway, we move on. But yes, that's still a favorite in our house. 35 years and still packs a wallop and still one of the funniest things ever made. So go see it. And if you haven't, go watch it. I think the last time the IMA showed Grail, we tried to go, and it was sold out, and Emma was crushed. So then we took her little portable DVD player, and I plugged it in the backyard, and we had a picnic out in the backyard watching that. So
that's a good idea.
And I charged myself $8 for a glass of Sutter House. Anyway, we'll take a short break, and we'll talk about what is new on DVD and Blu-ray. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Anything about either one of them.
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
And the video store is open. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Brian Hartz, Jules Riker, Sharon Rickson, and Kobe Slagle all sitting in. It's a quintet.
It's a party.
It's not Fleetwood Mac. It's not either version.
It's girls rock, baby.
Yes, dear. Yes, it is. We will get to you.
I know. Wait your
turn. No. That's not true. No. You know you chime in anytime, my ladies.
All right.
New on DVD and Blu-ray this week. The latest film from Kevin Smith. Speaking of the intro that we just heard. It's an action film from Kevin Smith. It's called Cop Out and stars Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan. There's no Jay. There's no Silent Bob. But Tracy Morgan is married to Rashida Jones. Therefore, once again, the world is not fair.
Oh.
Here's a trailer.
From Warner Brothers Pictures, the studio that brought you the acclaimed police dramas, Dirty Harry, Training Day, and The Departed, comes a film that carries on the tradition.
I'm going undercover.
Doubtful?
Yes, I am doubtful.
I already made my decision.
Hello?
The president is black now.
We make decisions.
You know, there's a right way of doing police work. Then there's a way you two do it.
Now's a good time to do something.
Now that is what I'm talking about.
This is the stuff that my mother used to tell her friends about. My son is a genius. My son is a genius.
That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast.
What's going on?
Somebody just broke into your house.
I'm gonna go take care of the son of a bee myself.
Whoa, man.
You gonna smoke somebody?
Put the gun down.
I know my rights.
Lady. Put the freaking gun down on the ground right now. Take your son across the freaking street and say that until he's gonna get you. Jeez. See.
This February.
Come on, Jim.
I'll shoot you right in the face.
I'll shoot you in the face. What?
Shut up. Stop repeating.
Come on.
Shut up, man. You see what he's doing, Jim?
Bruce Willis.
My partner. Smarter than Batman. Why did you smack me?
I was in the moment, and the moment said smack you.
Tracy Morgan.
Felicia!
Ayúdenme!
We need to know what happened to her.
Tuve dos días en una cajuela encerrada, no sabía qué hacer.
And Sean William Scott.
This is police brutality.
Not yet.
Hey, keep going, man, I don't cheat.
Okay, here we go.
Come on.
Cop out.
Knock, knock.
No. No. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No. 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 Hell no. 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 I refuse. No. No.
Who's there?
Okay, we have a Kevin Smith film not written by Kevin Smith. And I think the first question is, why in God's name did this happen? I actually know the answer. Because I've bought, yes, I'm one of those, I've bought not one, not two, but all three Evenings with Kevin Smith on DVD. I love his storytelling. And in it, he talked about working on Live Free or Die Hard and working with Bruce Willis. And the story went, at the premiere of that, Willis went up to Smith and said, hey, you know what, you and I should do a movie sometime. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here it is. Wow, what a major letdown. We're talking Mallrats letdown, and
ouch.
He didn't write it. I would love to see what a Kevin Smith action film looks like.
Did you see Kevin Smith when he was here a couple years ago?
I did not.
He spoke at some thing.
At Clues?
I don't know. Maybe.
Did you go?
No, I've got a friend that went. He's a big Kevin Smith fan.
Okay. Did he like this film?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
It's a shame. I understand why, I totally understand why he would want to make it. One, to work with Bruce Willis. Two, to make a big action film because he hasn't done that yet. And to be doing something for Warner Brothers. Man, his next film better be great. It doesn't necessarily have to have, you know, Jay and Silent Bob doing the tuck and all the other stuff like in Clerks 2. You know what I'm talking about. But it was just a generic, generic cop film. Bruce Willis sleeps, walks through this, and Tracy Morgan, I think he's very polarizing. He's exhausting the watch. I don't think that's a good thing. I'm sure on the DVD there are deleted scenes of him just riffing and riffing and riffing, but man, I need a nap after watching him. It's just a little trying too hard, and maybe I'm getting older because I'm a man. I'm 40, says Coach Gundy. Just not my cup of tea all the time. You know, dare I say, boy, is he's really good in 6 to 8 minute increments,
yeah,
but not a whole damn minutes, film. Yeah. Just like a lot of his, I don't mean his type, I didn't mean that.
And what type is that?
Performers of his ilk, there we go. That's, gosh. But no, big letdown. I hope he makes an action, I hope he gets to write an action film, because it felt like people trying to imitate Kevin Smith, and that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. So this
wow. So like the newest Metallica album, it sounded like a bunch of crappy ooh musicians trying to imitate Metallica.
Wow, thank you, Brian. We'll review Some Kind of Monster later here. Hit it, Kobe.
No, 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 no.
I could have just played the trailer clip at the end of that. Tracy Morgan.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe. We'll add that later, next season, maybe. Also out on DVD, and I know the ladies are excited about this, The Runaways, finally out on DVD and Blu-ray. Thank God it played in Indianapolis. But it is the story of the band, The Runaways, Joan Jett, Jerry Curry, Lita Ford, especially Lita Ford, even though she's not in this, barely. But it's with Kristen Stewart and Dakota Fanning and Michael Shannon, who plays their kind of, I call him a glam Mick Jagger, because that's how he kind of goes off in this film. But here's a clip of Stewart and Shannon meeting Dakota Fanning.
In 1975, rock was a man's world.
You dogs will be lucky to get a gig singing in the shower. Go sell Girl Scout cookies.
Until
have the most chance of any group I've seen to tear this world apart.
You heard of me.
Have I?
I like your style. A little Bowie, a little Bardot. A look on your face that says I could kick the shit out of a truck driver. Joni, this is Joan Jett. And you are?
Cherie.
Cherie. Cherie what?
Curry.
Cherie Curry. Is that your real name? Well, Cherie Curry, do you sing or play a musical instrument?
Yeah. Yeah, I can sing. I won a talent show lip singing to David Bowie. Why?
Why? Ask the maybe great Cherie Curry. Read my lips. We love your look. We are choosing you to be a part of rock and roll history. Do you want to be in the band?
Are you kidding?
You know any Susie Quattro?
Yeah.
Good. Learn one of her songs. I don't care which. Audition Saturday. Joan will tell you where.
And there you have it. I know two of you got to see this, Sharon and Brian. Why don't you chime in first? You're my guest.
Let's see. I mean, I feel that my taste has been ruined by my art school experience. I can't just go in and watch a film and enjoy it anymore,
which is perfect for you being a guest here. That's really okay.
I'm just as cynical, jaded, and burned out as the rest of you.
That's
yes.
fine. Ooh. But you probably, you know, you probably wear pants when you blog, so you're all right.
What?
I don't blog. I do zines every now and then. See, and that's usually in my skivvies.
That's great. Now break down the film for us. Then, did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it for what it's worth. It was entertaining. Mm-hmm. There's a couple parts where it's kind of like a little weird.
the character development in the beginning was good, and it kind of got to let you get to know the girls. And then all of a sudden, in the last half hour, it was like, "Hey, we're in Japan. VH1 we're behind on the music. Speed. Yeah, you know, we're making out with each other." And then and movie. So it's like, "Oh, right. My alcoholic father in the beginning. I'm very pained. We're practicing. Crazy manager." Then the last half hour, you're just like, "Whoosh! Whoa!" Well, easy, girls.
Well, it was directed by a music video director, Floria Sigismondi.
Damn kids and their damn editing. And
yeah, she had to throw in some
every
of the,
3 seconds
some of the
a
visual
shot.
Style somewhere.
Grr. Brian?
Oh, I actually enjoyed some of the sort of hallucinatory style that she brought to that. It felt like the film kind of lost its way about halfway through.
Cliche drug overdose scene.
Yeah,
how many
exactly,
times have
yeah.
we seen that I'm underwater, I'm having a drug overdose?
You're usually
especially
on the
rock
and
roll
biopic. Train spotty and climb out
you're,
of the toilet.
You're usually
you know?
On the floor, I think.
The,
yeah. Yeah, there's no baby climbing through the ceiling as well in this one.
Not that I caught.
Yeah, I think this is the dark. This is the dark side of that thing you do. It is a much darker. No, it is. It is a by story wise a by the book by the numbers band story. You know, band starts out, band gets famous, band breaks up. That's fine. But I think, and there are times it felt like the message of this band, of girls, if the Twilight crowd would go and buy their albums as much as they buy the damn books, then mission accomplished. I think that's more important than maybe at times the film itself. And Kristen Stewart's fine in this. It's not her film. I know there are people in this building and listening that have this intense, white, hot hatred for her. I'm over 40 and don't read those books, so I don't. But no, Joan Jett does not bite her lip or tussle her hair once in this film. We looked. And kudos to Dakota Fanning for doing this because I saw, you know, prior to this, she did a film called Hound Dog, which got,
yes,
a.k.a. the Dakota Fanning Gets Raped film.
Yes.
Which
Just in time for the holidays.
and wasn't picked up by anybody. Whoa. And looking at it, and I finally got to watch it, it's not that good a film. I mean, it's just Southern fried melodrama.
Lifetime movie.
With, a little too much other stuff for Lifetime. But, yeah, it is that kind of standard R-rated Lifetime film. But I understand that she could make that film, so she could make this film. So the fact that she's playing Cherry is not a huge shock. You know, the fact that she's, you know, she was, you know, Dakota was, I think, 15 when she made this film. And guess who was 15 when she joined the band? So,
bingo.
Yeah. So that fit out well. And I'd like to think, and this is me, this is the dirty old man saying this, the scene you're talking about with two of the band members seemed, I think, for me, more empowerment as opposed to exploitation. It could have been at least 5 minutes longer and been really exploited. No, I didn't mean it like that. But, I mean, it was a bonding moment as opposed to a shocking moment.
Yes.
So at least it didn't go down that path either. And like I said, Michael Shannon looks like a glam Mick Jagger, and that's really a good thing.
He's one of the high points of the film.
It is. Yeah, we do like Michael Shannon. He should get bigger films, and more people should notice him. Go rent Bug in Revolutionary Road if you don't believe
me. Bug is awesome. He originated that role in
yes, he did. And then he got to work with William Friedkin. Oof.
Yeah.
So anyway, go rent it. And then go buy The Runaways. Go find them on vinyl or on CD, please.
You know what? It's a much better tale of girls in rock than you'll ever find in Hannah Montana.
Or Satisfaction.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oosh.
Yeah, him too. So play it, Kobe.
Now that was a good movie.
Okay, got a couple other DVD and Blu-ray notes if you want to go and shell the money out for this. On Criterion Blu-ray, Black Narcissus. Not the Abdul Hakim Shabazz story. My pal, I can say that. He's a friend. Shout Factory. Shout Factory, for some reason, is putting Roger Corman films out on Blu-ray. So you can see the low budget much clearer and cleaner. This time, and I know you're going to go get these, Brian, Forbidden World and Galaxy of Terror. Big time.
Nice.
Also on Warner, also on Blu-ray and DVD, The Losers, if you didn't see the A-Team. On Criterion Blu-ray, The Red Shoes. And occasionally somebody like Rhino Records will just pull out an old title and throw it at you. Wow, I hadn't thought of that movie in a while. Maybe I should. On Blu-ray, Barry Levinson's Tin Men. The second of the three the Baltimore Trilogy films from Barry Levinson, before Diner, or after Diner, before Avalon. with Danny DeVito and Richard Dreyfuss as rival aluminum siding salesmen in the 1950s. They're fighting over Barbara Hershey, and that's a fight worth having.
We're okay with that.
We are okay with that. Plus, that film had one of the best lines. Also, Bruno Kirby, J.T. Walsh, Kyle MacMillan, I believe Keith MacMillan was in that as well, and it had one of my favorite jokes to describe, of course, Bonanza, the story of a 50-year-old man with three 45-year-old sons. So there you go. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to talk with our guests, and I got a couple onion notes that are actually, okay, they're not true, and a couple obits. We need to salute a couple people. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
We're not alone.
We've got guests.
You got what?
Guests. Guests.
Guests?
Yeah, guests. People. We've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Who are you?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like, your opinion, man.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
And welcome back to Film Sociology. I'm your host, Matthew Soucy. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoucy@wfyi.org. And I'm also on Facebook. Brian Hartz, Jules Riker, and Sharon Rickson are sitting in with me along with Kobe Slagle. Gentlemen and ladies, we need to raise a glass and salute one of the finer that guys that was working in the business. Actor James Gammon passed this week at the age of 70, the great gravelly voice actor, best known as the manager from Major League.
Oh, that guy.
Thank you. I didn't even set him up, folks. I know how to do that. Among the all the things that he is noted for, actually the last thing I saw him in was Appaloosa, the Viggo Mortensen, Ed Harris Western, Silver City. Anything directed by John Sayles is worth checking out. Cold Mountain, he was a voice in The Iron Giant, The High-Low Country, Wild Bill, Wyatt Earp, not Tombstone, the bad Wyatt Earp film, Cabin Boy, yes, I Love You to Death, Revenge, Milagro Beanfield War, Ironweed, Silverado. Odd footnote, he played Don Johnson's dad twice. Once on Nash Bridges and once in the TV movie version of The Long Hot Summer in the 80s.
What are the odds of that?
I don't know. That's why I give you this information. He was Kutch's dad in Vision Quest, Urban Cowboy, Any Which Way You Can, The Greatest, Bobby Joe and the Outlaw and the Pom Pom Girls, and Macon County Line and A Man Called Horse. Thank you for all your gravelly voice, Mr. Gammon. And for you anime fans out there, it was a lousy movie, but I didn't quite get into the series, but some of you did. Voice actor Peter Fernandez died this week at the age of 83, best known as the voice of Speed Racer and Racer X.
Oh, that guy.
That's right. Oh, and there you go. So thank you much. Thank you. So, ladies, tell us about Girls Rock.
Ooh, well, we just, very exciting week. We just ended, I literally came from our last day of camp and came here to talk to you.
To chat with more children.
Yeah.
Boys.
Yeah, we've had enough estrogen to last this week.
Yeah, for sure.
Great.
But essentially what Girls Rock is, I've worked with this program before in Seattle, and it's an international program that is absolutely amazing. And it is a nonprofit organization dedicated to building positive self-esteem in girls and encouraging creative expression through music. The education program provides girls with an opportunity to participate in a really cool environment. It fosters leadership, encourages social change, and really cultivates a supportive community of female peers and mentors. It's absolutely phenomenal.
And how many did you have this week?
40. 40 girls between 8 and 16. 40 amazing, amazing girls that, you know, just have left the best impressions on us, and
it's
just
been wonderful.
Oh,
and
awesome.
how many adults were there?
Each day it kind of differed, but I'd say we had what, maybe about 15 solid,
to 20, yeah.
15 solid old-timers.
Okay. It's like, wow, I was like, not just the two of you, right? Ooh.
That'd be like my student teaching days, you know. You're like, hey, IPS, how many kids in a classroom?
I did one day. No, I'm not even going to talk about it.
We'll talk about Dangerous Minds much later. Or Freedom Riders.
Yeah.
So what are some of the, what do we... You got 8 bands, did I hear right?
Nine bands formed out. The girls were allowed to pick their own bands and, you know, kind of mix instruments. And they formed bands based on musical tastes and kind of, you know, who they thought was cool. And ended up being all over the board, you know. But
Lady Gaga was huge, though. With the little ones, they love Lady Gaga.
Did you have anybody that was really interested in Carlos? Did you have a Latin band?
You want a female Santana band?
Yes.
Is that what you're looking for?
No, maybe next year.
We had a girl come in that kind of had a Latin influence, because every day we had
a lunchtime performer.
Right. And so I forget her name. Anyway,
it's okay.
She's Latina. She's big.
She's
in
not
Japan.
Listening. It's all right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Maybe unless she's really podcast friendly. I don't know. So.
Yeah. No, my.
If you are, we're sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Right. Yeah, sorry.
You sounded great.
You did great. You really did. Yes.
There's 40 of them, for crying out loud. After a while, they're like, you. Yeah, no, not you. You. Get over here.
Yeah, hey, little sister, come on over. I'll tell you what, look out, Indy, because these girls are they've become real empowered, and they're going to just take over. I mean, a lot of them want to stay together in their bands. So
awesome.
You're going to be seeing some.
Get them a bus and paint
you're
it.
You're going to be seeing some girl bands coming
yeah,
up.
You better look out.
It'll be a while for my group. My group's like 8 to 9 year olds.
So we're not
going to
be
Sharon's,
seeing the Melody Inn?
No. Oh. You won't be seeing the Popcorn Rockers at the Melody Inn.
You could, but it'd be outside.
But you know, you might be seeing the band that I was coaching, yeah. Glass Grenades, at the Melody Inn sooner than the Popcorn Rockers.
Yeah.
Because
they're how old?
Because they're between 13 and 16.
Oh, they're outside the Melody Inn right now.
They probably, I mean, when I was that age, I knew how to hop a fence. So.
Yeah, no.
We're not, that wasn't taught during
we're
the camp.
Promoting.
We're not saying that. We're just saying.
You don't teach parkour?
Wow.
That is terrible, Kenny. That is TRBL terrible. You're a bad man, Brian.
Matt, do you earn it?
My precious little lambs. My precious little rock and roll lambs.
Have they stopped screaming?
No, we actually encourage them to scream. Yeah. That's kind of the point of the camp.
I totally understand that. Well, what do you think? And they all created a song?
Yes. Each band did at least one original song. They will be performing at the showcase tomorrow. So we're very
Sweet.
Excited.
Tomorrow
Excellent.
At the Earth House, 3 p.m., 237 Northeast Street.
Yeah,
in
be
the
there or be
area.
Square.
Yeah. And, like, I just got to promote our song, The Popcorn Rockers. It's Bring Down the House. Gonna rock.
That's
so
the
out.
Burning down the house or
no,
a burning
no.
down.
Bring down the
house. Oh, bring down the house. Oh, I see. That's different.
But really, honestly, Matt, it was so cool to see these little 8 and 9 year old girls like learn an instrument, write a song, and they're gonna perform it all in a week. That's pretty freaking amazing. Like they got along, no fights, nothing, and then tomorrow it's just gonna be all original music from, you know, Indianapolis. Artists, Indianapolis, up-and-coming female rock band.
They,
so.
They only fight when the drugs come in. I'm kidding. They're not. They're not.
Give me that last fruit snack package. Yeah.
Can I go get some goldfish, please?
Yeah. I'm strung out on Red Bull, man.
Chosen for Cheetos.
No, there was no Red Bull.
No, we
no
kid.
Red Bull,
we're kidding.
Only apple juice.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
I have an 8-year-old. I'm kidding.
She needs to come. Year,
she, problem is she'd be the writer from Rolling Stone.
You know what?
She'd write 8,000 words and just travel.
You know what? Maybe she could be, you know, we could like work
our resident journalist.
Yeah, for
Ooh.
This.
Actually, she, you know what? We were at the Children's Museum earlier, and we were at the Barbie exhibit because I have a daughter. And she was draping the fabric over. I think she's going to be more like Edna from The Incredibles than Elastigirl. And I'm okay with that, so long as you have as many Oscars as Edith Head did in her days. Maybe not the giant glasses and no capes. But you never know. She might design. I don't. We will see. But she has an audition tomorrow.
Shadow.
cool?
Yeah, she has an audition tomorrow for...
Good luck, Emma.
Yes, fingers crossed. 10 a.m. audition for Christmas Carol at Beef and Boards.
Ooh,
great. Yes,
thank you, thank you. So we will get to that. So, Brian, who are some of the composers that you will be highlighting major on your site?
Well, my site's kind of got a little gimmick, and I have to say I stole it entirely from my friend John King, who is much more knowledgeable about the film.
Yeah, but John's not here, so you are.
Yeah, true. He's got a blog where he's going through his vast DVD collection, so I said, why don't I do that with my film music collection?
Cool.
I don't even know how many soundtracks I have, but I'm going through in alphabetical order from...
Oh, my God.
From numbers to whatever, wherever it ends
and
up.
And where are you at now?
Somewhere in the A's.
Aaron Loves Angela.
I took a break for a couple of months while I was directing a show and planning a wedding and all these kinds
of
things.
Yes, one, congratulations on the wedding in October. Two, congratulations on doing How I Learned to Drive in Carmel.
It was quite an adventure. We had very receptive audiences.
Very good. Very cool. Very cool. It's a nice little incest play.
It's
talk about a family play.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
And then go see The Kids Are All Right.
That's right.
I know you and I have talked about it. My favorite is Ennio Morricone.
And actually, one of the first that I started out with, since I'm going in alphabetical order, which was the score from 310 to Yuma. In which had
first.
To walk the balancing act of, okay, how do you confront the legacy of Ennio Morricone? Do you just full on try to imitate him or go against him? You got to, and somehow the score does both. So
who did that?
Marco Beltrami.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
one
all right,
newer
cool.
On the scene, and he did a pretty good job balancing it out.
I would say last week I was fortunate enough to go to Symphony on the Prairie when they did their sci-fi show with George Takei.
I got to meet
George Takei at Intercom, and he talks like that. Nice to meet you. But he did a really good job. But yeah, they did the maestro did music from Star Wars, of course, Avatar, Close
wow.
Encounter, Up, which was a nice little touch. The latest Star Trek. He did a medley of TV sci-fi TV, and the other reason why George was there, besides telling old Star Trek stories, what he did the big monologue at the end of The Day the Earth Stood Still, and did Elmer Bernstein's score.
Bernard Herrmann.
I stand correct. See, I knew he. No, I actually did mess it up. He corrected me, but that's why I said. But yeah, it was very, very cool. So while we're checking out,
did they have a theremin, a live theremin?
They did not have a theremin, I think theremins should be more accessible in the Indianapolis music scene. Ladies,
Rox is wanting one of those. For
you
the,
don't even have to touch them.
Exactly, but no, they did bring out a woman who I think was an opera singer, and they brought her out. First off, short hair in the red female Star Trek uniform. Yes, they did the theme. She did the vocalization.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
nice.
It was pretty cool.
For the old Alexander Courage Star Trek?
Yes,
nice.
Yes.
Nice.
And then she came back on and did a couple more bits, one from Day the Earth Stood Still and a couple other.
Did she sing the theremin part?
She did, actually. It was,
wow.
It was kind of cool. So, yeah, and if you sing like a theremin, that's good, too.
Okay, you gotta break it down.
You don't know what a theremin
passing
is?
Passing notes going.
We're
what?
Rock and roll girls over here.
Is that what that? Hey, L.A. Guns did a song. L.A. Guns did a song with a theremin, okay? If you check it out.
Okay. It's that weird electronic instrument. Yeah.
Every side. Oh, it's the that guy of musical instruments.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah. It's the strangest
every,
looking thing you've ever seen.
Every
like
sci-fi
a little gnome or
no,
something.
Yes, it is actually a gnome. Every sci-fi movie from the 50s and 60s used it as weird atmospheric music.
Yeah, Bernard Herrmann was one of the first
to
combine
we'll
it with an orchestra.
That.
You should have
we'll
it there. So, Jules, did you show him pictures of you from your college DJs?
No.
I should have come in.
Yeah. Well, I don't
next
just,
year.
Yeah.
You have a whole year to get all the embarrassing photos.
I'll have to see.
Yeah, no, I didn't bring any of those. And I did bring in my... Best Hair Award, the certificate that I got that you guys gave me and showed that to
well,
the
you,
girls.
You did. Now, I mean, my hair is almost as big as yours was then.
Yeah?
Now.
Well, my hair hasn't changed much. Neither has yours.
It's grayer.
Okay.
Much grayer.
That's it.
You had to do that and...
No, I've got it, Kobe. I got it, man. I'm all right.
He volunteered that this is radio, you know. We
no,
know.
Man. Hey, I got my first gray hair at 20 and I haven't colored it. Because my salt and pepper ratio is about 2 years away from hitting its apex, and then I'll be unstoppable. Of course,
so
I gotta...
then we'll just call you salt.
No, because I'm not a Russian agent.
Yeah.
I can't jump trucks either.
Yeah,
and we have come full circle this afternoon.
No, we haven't. We still got about 5 minutes left. Okay. Not quite. I'd love to play the closing song now, but we have company. All right. This week's Ask the Q&A, Ask the AV Club in The Onion. And this is something that I'll riff off the top of your head. The subject, doomed fictional couples. And this came from an argument about if Rob and Laura in High Fidelity were actually going to make it. So here's some of the ones that were brought up by the writers of The Onion, the number one news source here at Film Sociology.
As it should be.
The couple in Speed. Because guess what? Keanu doesn't show up in the second film. That's Jason Patrick.
There you have it.
Seth Rogen and Katherine Heigl at Knocked Up.
Yeah, that could work.
Yeah. And by the way, she's changed her mind now. Now Katherine Heigl enjoyed working on Knocked Up. She'll change her mind in 2 more days. Somebody wrote Prince and Apollonia in Purple Rain.
Nice. That'd be pretty hot.
Yeah. He's a narcissistic Michelangelo Matos writes, come on, he's a narcissistic rock star, even if he is redeemed, albeit from his father's suicide attempt, oh my. She walks around in lingerie. Both are hella needy. Minneapolis is a good place to hook up, but there's no way it's going to last more than 2 years. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Ooh. Ponder that. Ah, perfect.
That's too thinky for...
Yeah. Too thinky. Yeah. Julia Roberts and Richard Gere in Pretty Woman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. My Man Godfrey.
You blew right by me, man.
Oh, from the 30s. There's... And somebody went on cable and wrote Big Love.
Nice.
Doomed couples, I guess, in that one.
I love Big Love.
And seriously, does anybody think that Han Solo and Princess Leia actually made it? How could any relationship survive the pressure of Chewbacca? I mean...
I love you.
Oh.
Wow, women that know Python and imitate Chewbacca, you're valuable.
You're my newest friends.
I know. My
parents' dog sounds just like him whenever I come home and visit.
Bridesmaid? Hi, honey, look who I brought.
I actually have some friends who march down the aisle to the throne room music from the end of Star Wars.
Sweet.
Yikes.
Nice.
We dared one of the groomsmen to growl like Chewbacca, but, you know.
We'll save that for your service, your ceremony.
Yeah.
Ethan and Julie in Before Sunrise and Before Sunset, and the next film that we're going to make in about 7 years.
We could do a crossover in a Before Twilight.
Oh, God, no. No glittery vampires, no shirtless werewolves. Those have been the actors I've had to work with this summer at camp. I don't think anybody saw this. I did, because this is my job. John Corbett and Neil Vardalos in I Hate Valentine's Day. Insufferable romantic comedy. Don't see it. Lightning doesn't strike twice for the Greek wedding. The couple in Say Anything.
Oh, love that.
John Cusack's so adorable in that movie.
Yes, it's so long ago.
He's so dreamy.
He is so dreamy in, what, 1980?
So how many John Cusack couples is that up to?
Too many. And last but not least, on the all-time great endings, The Graduate.
Oh, yeah.
I had... Professor T.F. Macy at Ball State, freshman English. We spent a week watching The Graduate with that great last shot of what are we going to do next. So kudos to Mike Nichols for not telling his actors cut and just letting the camera roll in the back of the bus. Absolutely amazing. Brian, plug your website. We got about 1 minute.
Cinematicmusic.blogspot.com.
And we got to have you back on. We'll bring a stack of CDs and start playing film scores.
It's on.
It's brought.
That's right.
Ladies, tomorrow again?
Tomorrow at 3 p.m. sharp at the Earth House. Doors at 2. That is at 237 Northeast Street. Come see 40 girls, 9 bands, and one heck of a rock and roll show.
That's not hella needy.
Exactly.
And website?
We are at, you can find us on the Facebook.
On the Facebook. Are you playing music by the Pearl Jam, too? Wow.
Maybe.
Pull up my socks and get off my lawn.
And we're girlsrockindie.org, so come check us out.
Yeah, get on that internet.
Get on the internet. I urge you.
That's right. Oh, God.
Start controlling the Googles. And
you control your own Google. Stay over there. Kobe, give us some words to live by. Oh, that too. Thanks to everybody for sitting in with me. Don't forget Double I, Double F, 3 more days, Monty Python at the IMA tonight. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show, here on WFYI HD2 The Point, WFYI.org. See ya!
This is WFYI HD2 Indianapolis, The Point.
From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies in for Terry Gross. On today's Fresh Air, songwriter Jimmy Webb tells us about some of his best-known songs, By the Time I Get to Phoenix, Wichita Lineman, and MacArthur Park. During the 1960s, he had many hits. At one point, he had five top 10 songs within 20 months.